5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you're live.
Live, Michael Angley, live on United Public Radio Network. And there's so many things going through my mind, man. Like a lazy Susan, but not so lazy, man. Spin it around. And who the hell is Susan anyway, you know? This is the deal. Hillary Clinton? You got to be kidding me, man. Talking about 2020. She's going to run with Bernie Sanders. It's going to be an instant replay of it was one time. And it's kind of like, you know what it's like? It's like herpes, you know? Something that doesn't go away. And not that I have herpes, but I am aware of what it is. It's herpes. In fact, I could describe politics with all those diseases, man. You know what I mean? Syphilis, gonorrhea. It fits in, doesn't it? It really does. Because it's that type of infectious type of world. And it's there's no cream for it, though, unfortunately. There's this, but Hillary Clinton, go away. People don't want you. The Democrats don't want you. The Democrats that are running for office right now, for all the little, senator and whatever representative and all the little offices, all the big offices, they're trying to get something back. They think that they have some kind of momentum. I don't know where they get that from, because the people that I talk to who are Democrats, who are friends of mine, people I grew up with, who are not extremists, they're not the voice that's out there. The voice you're hearing from the media is extreme. That is a really small part of the party itself. And the majority of the people, typical to party politics, typical to politics anyway, the majority of the people aren't getting heard. And the people that I talk to are pretty happy telling me that they're burnt out. They don't want to vote. They don't care. You know, they're just letting it go and whatever, and they don't want to waste their time. They think it's a huge waste of time. They're disillusioned, and I think that it has been beaten into their heads by all these people like Hillary Clinton, like Barack Obama. You know, Republicans, too. What are they? What have they got to say? You know, we have problems because of these politicians, that they've mismanaged our money for such a long time. And you know, shoving a lot of it in their own pockets, enriching themselves one way or the other, you know, getting rich off of their public office, off of their public representation of us. That's a problem. And unless we address that problem and solve, not just talk about it, but solve the damn problem and separate these thieves, lying, cheating, greedy thieves from our representation, because we don't need people like that representing us. We need people who have heart, who want to get in there and actually think about all the people, not just this group, that group, or I'm going to target that group. The Democrats are very good at targeting groups. Oh, the gays are over there, the blacks are over there, you know, Latinos are over there, you know what I mean? They are very good at labeling and targeting and talking at those groups, you know, and pushing a weird type of group pride against them, you know, thinking that the group's going to get more from this politician than anybody else. That's wrong to do. And you're playing people against each other. And this is what they do. And unless we solve the problem and get this nonsense out of our system, it's always going to be the same. The song remains the same. And then you're going to have the same old characters. It's like a goddamn horrible, cheesy clown show that you've already seen and you freaking hate clowns anyway. And here they are in your face honking their horns. And it gets worse and worse and worse every time. Yeah? Hillary Clinton. Really? I want to see her run just so I can see her lose again and be humiliated. And then she can go back on tour with another Sour Grapes tour, saying why she lost this time. It'll be like, that's the book, you know, Why I Lost This Time. You know what I mean? Then you get Elizabeth Warren. I don't understand people, man. I don't understand people. I like to think that I know people. God gave me that gift where I understand people in a way, but I don't understand people. I understand you if you're in my face and I can kind of feel your energy and whatever. And then, you know, you kind of know that people can pretty much do whatever stupid thing they want to do, say whatever stupid thing they want to say. And that's life, man. So when I'm dealing with people, I like to think like, okay, it doesn't really matter what they say, because I don't care what they think, you know. It's more like when I see people out there, it's like so many people out there are offended, man, just like absolutely positively offended by every little freaking thing that people can possibly say. And got to take offense, and someone's just got to reach out and say some stupid thing as a response to some other stupid thing somebody else said, or not stupid thing. It doesn't matter what it is these days. You can say anything, man. You can say you like a certain color. I like the color black. Somebody out there, you racist. Black is racist. It's like, oh, man. So with me, it's hard to get me angry unless I like you. You can't get me angry unless I like you. And I'm a comedian, and I have a tagline that says I can piss anybody off in less than 20 seconds. It's actually 10 now. I've improved it. I've updated my resume. 10 seconds these days, because people are really, really, really freaked out. Ithaca, New York, it's all liberals. All you got to say is make America great. People like, they sit there, they plot right on the ground, pass out in a rage of liberal anger. All I said was make America great. They fell down. I don't know. I screamed. They fell down. And then, you know, people will try to attack you on everything. I've dealt with that in my life. And I've been in relationships where it was like that. It was like just combat, you know, daytime, nighttime combat. And then after your third, fourth, or fifth nervous breakdown, you kind of get used to the beratement of certain toxic people trying to chew your jugular. That's why I have some respect for Trump. I don't know how he can take a beating like he's been taking and then still kind of just go with it. And I got a feeling he's got that same attitude, like they don't care what they think, that those people are beneath him. The ones who are trying to tear you down, the ones who are trying to break you apart, you, not Trump, you. The people that attack you with their vicious attacks, the people that just shit test you and hit you all the time, they're the ones who are trying to tear you down. They are not your friends. And they're beneath you. They don't like you. There's something about you that they don't like. They don't like your positive energy. They don't like that you have good qualities. They don't like the fact you do good works. I've seen this time and time again. And those people, they're demons. They just want to grab you and drag you down to a hole. So you're a hateful mess like they are and non-productive. And then you're ready to join any kind of group that feels the same way, where you want to tear people down and destroy them. You know what? A wise man once said to me a long time ago, why say something bad when you can say something good? You know who that man was? That's right. It was Colonel Sanders. You know, and he knew that I liked my chicken. You know what I'm saying? I love that sweet chicken talk. But honestly, Elizabeth Warren, talking about Colonel Sanders, she'd be a great Colonel Sanders. She really does have that high cheekbone chicken Colonel Sanders type of look. So she's in embattled in the DNA war. All the rage these days, getting your DNA checked. And then, you know, she had made a statement a long time ago. And checked off boxes on applications that she was Native American. She checked those boxes to get jobs. She checked those boxes to enter school. You know, whether it helped her or not remains to be seen. The people that hired her for those high-paying jobs said that they didn't remember if that was a determining factor in Elizabeth Warren getting those jobs, right? Elizabeth Warren, very wealthy woman, United States of America, very wealthy white woman in the United States of America. I'm going to say that because she is not Native American. She has a DNA service. You know, there's like that 23andMe and there's the Ancestry and whatever. Then Heritage. Heritage just got hacked a few weeks back. You know, hundreds of thousands of people lost all their personal information. I don't think it gets much more personal than DNA. You know? Pretty scary. And then I love the 23andMe stories, like the one guy that signed up for the DNA test and then he found out he had like three kids that he never knew about. And they all came after him for child support. Love hearing stories like that, man. But Elizabeth Warren says that she's Native American. Trump calls her out. Remember how he called Obama out on the birth certificate? What did Obama do? He did nothing. Now, if Obama had his birth certificate, you would think the guy would be happy to show it. You know what I mean? Here's my birth certificate. There it is. Bye. But instead, it became a debate that lasted for years. And then finally, some doctor from Hawaii, you know, made up a birth certificate for Obama and put that forth as a live birth certificate. It was just a lot of cloak and dagger misery when it didn't have to be. And if someone's got a legitimate question, you should give them a legitimate answer. He's playing a game. You know, maybe he didn't have a birth certificate, whatever. I don't know, man. I'm not going to get into that whole thing because it was a whole kind of drawn out weird thing. It was weird, you know. You think that it wouldn't be a big deal, okay? But Trump calls out Elizabeth Warren on being Native American. She says she's Native American. She says from her family lore she's Native American, right? And she spelled it out. Now I'm gonna tell you this. My great, 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 great grandmother from Rensselaer County, from New York, part of the Iroquois Nation, Native American. I'm 6'5" with white skin and blue eyes. You would never take me for a Native American. But there are Native Americans that have blue eyes and who are 6'5" and white. You know, but I don't check boxes that says I'm Native American because I'm not. There was somebody who was Native American back there. If there was somebody African American back there, I wouldn't check that box either. So she had the audacity to check the box that she's Native American. Now, in the world of affirmative action, that box is actually pretty important because you want to be able to hire people that you think will fit your company well or your organization or whatever, but also pushing people of other races that can come forward and be successful, right? Because there was a huge problem with only white people getting jobs for a long time, like Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren has a 5,000 square foot mansion in Cambridge, right? It's worth $5.7 million, I understand. You can look it up. They're actually not fessing up to the worth of it. Only what they paid for it years ago, and then now it's worth a lot more. And she and her husband make a lot of money, plus she sells books and whatever. She's a wealthy woman, a wealthy white woman from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Not the Native American that she puts herself out there. So it's a crappy thing to do to check a box when you know that you're not. Even if you say, well, it's a family story. I have high cheekbones. High cheekbones means nothing. The Chinese have high cheekbones. Each part of Chinese. You know what I mean? Lots of people have high cheekbones. It means nothing. But the reality is she had was scrupulous enough, right? Had no unscrupulous, no scruples, no moral fiber, nothing to check that box and claim that she's Native American to get a job. And she did this multiple times and for college. Okay. Trump says, calling her Pocahontas, which isn't really, I've examined that and I've thought about that. And I don't think it's very nice. You know, it's mocking her, yeah, but I'm saying like for the Native American side. But whatever. That's him. Kind of a bully, right? Whatever. He sees himself as a comedian too, right? He's trying to be funny. But it stuck with her. Pocahontas, you know. So she has this DNA test done. There are people, now mind you, all this time, it's been going on for a long time, a couple years. Trump at one point offered $1 million if she took this DNA test, right? He said that. All right. This, I'm setting the stage for you. So she, now it's election time. Keep in mind, lots of Democrats looking to win, and they're trying to shake the stigma of the old world Democrat, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Hillary Clinton's, the, you know, Elizabeth Warren's, all these old dinosaurs. The people who are above 70, they're trying to shake the stigma that they kind of placed on the whole Democratic Party. Then you get other Democrats that are just totally off the wall, these communists, socialists, whatever. So the people that are running, it's hard lumps, man. They've got to take the lumps. So then you have Elizabeth Warren coming out weeks before Election Day with a DNA test. All right. You would think that she took her DNA test. She's got some amazing info. She's going to shove it in your face. Look at me. I'm the American. Right? Trump, me American. Look at me. She's got this test. And not only that, she recorded a segment of her on the phone and the guy on the phone who did the test. And it's not from like one of these basic services or whatever. She had to get a special person that she is specially paid to do this test. She's on the phone. Oh, so, you know, someone called me a liar and I had to prove to them that I wasn't a liar. So please tell me. And the guy's like, well, you do have Native American in your family blood. And she's like, ow, down. And I'm laughing my ass off. Let me tell you, man. There's no comedian out there that can make me laugh harder than this fantasy weird political circus that's going on. Politics is supposed to be boring. It is boring. Even when it was corrupt, just corrupt and boring is boring. Now it's like a show. It's like, you know, something that you can't even make up. That's the scary part. It's real. When you get to that part where you're like, damn, this is my country. That ain't funny. This is real, man. Where the hell can I go to get away from this? What am I going to do? How do I escape these horrible subhumans? Where am I going to go? So Elizabeth Warren, she's like, well, the guy continues, right? And he's like, you know, maybe ninth or tenth generation. that there was a woman that the family said was Native American, but she identified as white. She said she was white. Her name was Smith. And this goes all the way back, like early 1700s or whatever, which makes her. So the possibility ran that she was 1/100th to 1,132 or somewhere around there. That's like ridiculous to come out. They said, the statistics say that American Europeans have more Native American in them than Elizabeth Warren. And it's just, it's like ludicrous that she even did this. And I don't know how lame you can get. You know, it's one thing you want to come out with this test to say that, you know, it's the equivalent of coming out with a DNA test saying that you're related to Adam and Eve. And you're like, that's right, Adam and Eve, man. I got a thing for apples, naked chicks. You know what I mean? Snakes, not so much. But Adam and Eve, that's right. I'm a direct descendant. And I put that on my goddamn college application, you know? When it says race, I'm going to say other. Adam and Eve, and they're going to be like, what? What? Adam and Eve, bitches. That's right. You got to pay me. It's ridiculous, ludicrous, stupid to engage in such a thing. So what Elizabeth Warren did was embarrass all the Democrats that are running. She pissed off all the Native Americans out there. Even my friends who are Native American, real Native Americans, right? They live on a reservation and they actually are Native Americans. Not one in 1,132. They actually are. Real Native Americans are pissed off because they think it's disrespectful to them and everything about them. For this woman to come out bragging that she's Native American and checking boxes. And let me tell you, man, as for me, Michael Angley, I'm of this school. You can say a dumb thing you want to say. It's America, you know what I mean? As long as you're not defaming people, hurting people, doing anything like that, causing any kind of victim with your speech that didn't deserve it. But I am not of the school of letting this behavior continue of this Democratic Party and anybody else who wants to engage. And it's not just them. I know. Are you kidding me? Think I don't know? I think that when I look around at what's going on and the audacity of some people, man, to say certain things or act a certain way or do whatever, the violence that's being driven, Hillary Clinton saying that time for civility is over. When were Democrats ever civil? When were they ever civil? You write me and tell me that. They're supposed to be the party that cares, the party that's remember when Al Gore was running? That was the smart party. The smart party, really? I think they're the party of egotistical, twisted jerk-offs who are the biggest hypocrites I've ever seen in my lives. Lives. That's right. You know, it's sickening what they engage in. But, all right, look at Antifa. This is the Democrats' strong arm against the Republicans or anybody who pays themselves as conservative, right? And they send Antifa in. They pay them. Antifa's paid. They pay these protesters. And they're not protesters. They're paid thugs. I actually resent calling them protesters. They're paid thugs. It's a brute squad. And they're paid to go into protests and mess people up, hurt people, attack them, violently attack them. And the Democrats and the Democratic groups that support the Democrats pay them to do this. What does that sound like? Well, they put black masks on so you can't see their little weaselly faces as they go around hurting innocent people. What does that sound like to you? Can you name another Democratic group that did the same thing and the Democrats used them for what they wanted to? Let's think about the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK, a Democratic organization, was the strong arm of the Democratic Party back in the day. And when those Democrats didn't like black people or Jewish people or anybody else, they sent the KKK in there to burn crosses on their lawn, hang people, kill people, shoot people, do all that. Do you see a relationship with the KKK and Antifa and the messages that they both have? Do you think that the Democratic people, that people are part of the Democratic Party, were ever civil? Hillary says time for civility is over? Really? When did it begin? Abraham Lincoln was a Republican, ended slavery. The Democrats fought Lincoln, had a war about it, because they didn't want to end slavery. And this is the same party. I don't care what anybody says about time and change and whatever, because they're doing the same stuff today. They're threatening people. They're using violence. They're using groups like Antifa that are violent. They're paying off the newspaper, paying everybody off, so they can push their crappy message down people's throats and try to brainwash people with this fake outrage. That's the Democratic Party. That's right. I applaud their self-destruction, because there are smart people out there who do see what's going on, and they're beyond disillusioned. That's why a lot of people don't want to vote in this midterm, you know? So whatever, man. It's more of the same, you know what I mean? Like the more things change, the more they stay the same, that type of thing. I was reading an article about ISIS. ISIS is back, of course. They never went away. They were thwarted in some areas and whatever. But, you know, the deal is with these groups, you have to understand how to fight them. And the military, you got Mad Dog Mattis. He's great. He's the head of the Pentagon. He knows how to get in there and blow them up wherever they are, right? But when ISIS pulls back and infiltrates other little towns and they go underground, you have to know how to fight them. And then it comes down to intelligence, you know, and you have to listen to your intelligence chiefs. You know, the whole time Obama was in there, they, you know, CENTCOM, which is a command, they weren't listening to the agents in the field. And the agents in the field actually came forward and petitioned the White House, because Obama was rejecting all this information about ISIS and what they were doing, how they were growing and whatever. So now, intelligence-wise, I don't know. It's a mess, man. It's a huge mess. I think that they're always going to be there in some form unless you destroy them completely. And you can destroy them completely. It's actually very simple, because they want, you know what? Let's look at this from another perspective. What do they want? Not what are they doing? What have they done? What do they want? Because people don't engage in things like this unless they are doing it for a reason. They're working for a goal. They really want something out of the deal. What do they want? They don't just want to go around killing people and causing fear and terror. They are trying to convince people to join their cause. But what's the cause? What do they want? The cause is infiltration. They want to go into any group, any state, any kind of country, any place, and infiltrate. They want to take over. They want to take over their politics. They want to take over the streets. They want to take over everything they can so they can force the people there to believe in what they believe in. Islam is a conquering religion. So you don't see all the big Muslims out there calling for an end to ISIS or Hezbollah or Al-Qaeda or any of these other groups. You don't see that. You know why you don't see that? Because they don't believe in stopping these groups. They want these groups to continue, even though in the world of Muslims, they all hate each other. You know, the different factions and different groups, they're always fighting each other. They always want to destroy each other. So they always misinterpret. They take the Quran, They use it for what they want, just like people who take the Bible and use it for what they want to justify their crazy plans for whatever, right? Look at the Pope with the child molestation scandal going on and the Catholic Church saying, blaming it on the devil. Blaming it on the devil, right? Same, same. So now ISIS says that, they took 700 hostages, a couple weeks ago. They've been killing 10 a day. That's an issue, right? And then ISIS also has made threats that they're going to be in all these venues across the world, any concert that you go to, that the person next to you may have a knife and knife you to death during the concert. Now, American media and the Democrats push the term Islamophobia. Oh, you're afraid of these people. It's Islamophobia. How is it Islamophobia when you're expecting one of these people from these groups who are mainly Arabic to attack you? That you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know when they're going to flip out. Or what you're going to say is going to be said to be triggered them because you have to have kid gloves on when you're around people who are that nuts, right? You have to know how to fix the problem. So this is how you fix the problem. I'm going to tell you right now, United States military, Pentagon, Donald Trump, all you people, Theresa May, I know you listen to the show. You sit there with your little glass of wine and they're like, oh, Michael, talk to me. Yep. I know, it's a horrible thought. I'm sorry. I never apologize, really, but that's what I got to say. You know what? I think Theresa May has got a brain. I think that these world leaders are exhausted in what they can do, maybe willing to do. I don't know. I think that they're just depleted. And Trump seems to be the bull in the China shop, but you need direction and you need a plan. You need to understand these people and understand how to fight them because it's a war. It's a jihad. It's not just people immigrating into another country looking for work. It's something completely different. And you have to understand the complexity of it. But if you want to solve the problem, this is what you do. I'm telling you right now, anytime you catch an ISIS person, anytime you catch one of these guys in any of these groups, and this will work for American gangs too, you know that? It'll work for MS-13, which is based in El Salvador, right? And there's this train of people coming. There's this battle going on now, coming from Honduras and El Salvador. And it's all these young men coming here to the United States. They're cutting their way to Mexico. And then Trump said he's going to send in the army and do all these other things and whatever. So all that's going on. But this is what you do. I know you're hanging on to my every word. This is what you do. Every time you catch one of these bastards, whoever they are, they're committing these crimes. You deport their whole damn family from the country that they are from, that they went to. And don't tell me that these families are escaping war because they go back to their home countries all the time on vacation. You don't go on vacation in places that it's war. So obviously, they're not here because of that, or in the UK or anywhere. The UK has got it worse than the United States. It's different here with the migrants. Trump cut that off before the gateway could be opened. And there was floods. Obama wanted 400,000 to 600,000 per year. And it didn't happen like that, thank God, right? But look at the UK, look at France, look at all these places, man, Germany, Some of these places are getting a hold of it. They're trying to put a stop to it. The violence that's going on there from these migrants is unbelievable. And the government's letting it happen. They're letting it happen. Where are the men? Where are these men? Oh, you hear a feminist talk about toxic masculinity. You need that toxic masculinity if you want to kick some ass and protect yourself, because who else is going to do it? You know what the women are saying in Europe now? We need men to protect us. Where are the men? Our men are too effeminate. I hear women saying the men are too effeminate. Well, you crafted them, you know, in the image of a vagina. So now you have these manginas running around with their little man bags, and they're landscaped, manscaped. They got their nails done. They got waxed, but they can't fight worth a shit. You may as well just say, okay, I'll bow down and become a Muslim. Guess what? Muslims don't really like that. They don't like that. They got a problem with effeminate men. And there's, I'll tell you, man, so, you know, it's interesting listening to people from other countries knock America and the men here. And I grew up in the era, I mean, I was a little kid in the 70s, a teenager in the mid-80s, or 80s. And man, someone got in your face, you put your fist in it. You put your fist in their face. You didn't mess around. And people left you alone like that. If you were like that, people left you alone. You know what? You got to be like that. And it sounds, you know what, to when you listen to these people, when they describe toxic masculinity, I laugh my ass off, because people are what they are. And, you know, oh, yeah, it'd be great if we all lived in a world where nobody had to defend themselves or try to, you know, do whatever. You know, you don't want to hurt somebody. You don't want to hurt people. You know, I have hurt people. I've gotten into fights where people have messed with me. They messed with me. But I'll say this. I've never, 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 never hurt anybody in my life that didn't deserve it. You know, and when people mess with you, you're either a victim, or you're the one walking away. You know? It's that simple. And I was told at an early age by my family that you defend yourself. You go out that door, you're on your own, basically. You defend yourself. You don't let people hurt you. You don't let people walk on you or control you, step on you. You know? And I've done that. You know what I mean? I got into martial arts at an early age. I had, you know, and I'll tell you about martial arts. It's the philosophy behind it. That's the important part. Defending yourself is great. The philosophy. I've done martial arts since I was 7 years old. I'm 52. You know? I work out 5 times a week, and I love it. And it's the energy, man. You move the energy around. But there's times in your life that you might need to decorate someone's face. You know what I mean? And you can't run away from that. And you have to be able to protect the people around you. Your wife and children, your family, your town. So where are these men? You know, I watch these videos from the UK. This one guy, some parking attendant with his little scooter getting the shit kicked out of him by a bunch of these migrants, by like 9 of them, 9-on-1. And they stole his scooter. They beat him up, stole his scooter, kicked him in the head. Where are these men? Where are the men from that town? Where are these men? Or the tough women? Where are they? Are they that pussified? I have friends, England. They're like, well, the government steps in if you try to do anything. Fuck the government! You're the government! It's your country! These people are hurting you, so it's okay for these migrants to go around and all these countries over there and stomp the crap out of decent people, rob them, beat them, rape them, all that. That's okay. And the government is going to arrest you if you try to stop it. Ha! Ha! That's bull crap. Good luck with that. So, yeah. If you want to label me a toxic masculine bull, whatever, do it, man. I'm happy to wear that label. I'm happy. Because someone gets in my face, they're going to feel it. It's that simple. and my friends are all the same. You got a lot of them. You know, that's why United States of America, where we know what? That's why people say, oh, you can't invade the U.S. Yeah, because we are toxic males with guns. Thank you. Thank you. There's some females out there with guns, too. People make fun of us because of that. People in England. Ha, ha, ha. Americans and their guns. You're the one getting stomped on by a bunch of migrants. You're the one that had acid thrown in your face and someone steal your wallet. Now you need $30,000 worth of a plastic surgery because of some migrant, somebody that you let into your country for a better life, you know, and they're sitting there on government welfare, beating people up, raping people, basically doing what they want. And then, oh, once in a while, one of them goes totally ballistic and they drive over a bunch of people, you know, or get into a bus and drive over a load of people, or a truck to drive over 70, 80, 90 people. Gotta watch out over there at these events, man. You know, ooh, fireworks show in France. You know, let's sit and watch it. No, no, no. Some Muslim bastard wants to kill you because of their stupid religion that they don't even understand. They don't even understand, because if they actually really knew the Quran, they wouldn't do stuff like that. That's the truth of it. I know the Quran. I've read the Quran. You know, I've read it over and over again. Because I had a friend who was becoming, a really good friend who was becoming a Muslim. And he wanted me to read the Quran to him. And he read it back to me. And I did that to him. And it was interesting. You know, especially that time, I was interested in learning about all kinds of stuff like that. He is now a Christian. Interesting to note, but nonetheless, I will tell you this, no eternal reward will forgive us now for wasting the dawn. Jim Morrison, man, you know, and that all these people with their little petty religions and all their little nonsense and the justifications, oh, I'm going to justify how grown men rape little children repeatedly in the Catholic Church, but it's not their fault. It's the devil. Oh, no, no, I'm a 74-year-old Muslim, and I'm going to marry a 5-year-old girl and rape her repeatedly because she's my wife, and I can have as many wives as I want, you know? Oh, no, 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 believe in what I believe in, because we're a loving religion. If you don't believe it, we'll kill you, you know? I'm tired of all that. Damn hypocrites. And you're sitting there in England dealing with these scum who are like attacking your people. It's not safe. You know what? London? And London, I'll tell you, man, I love London. I love England. I love the people from England. And the cities, the countryside, you know, Manchester, whatever, Liverpool. Loved it. Every bit of it. And people tell me that that's not safe now in these places. I'm like, you know, trying to fathom that, because I'm from New York City. You know, originally Long Island, New York City, Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, talk about unsafe. You go out, step out of the street, you're basically unsafe in some of those places. And I hung out in those places. You know, I had friends living in Far Rockaway or East New York, where people are shooting at each other with machine guns, man, for drug wars, you know? Cops, they didn't care. They zoom through the street, pick up the dead bodies that they see, and do the paperwork, right? And that's ghettos, man. That they're dangerous. And it's amazing. It's amazing that they're even there. Because if that same type of stuff went on in Beverly Hills, there'd be SWAT teams up people's ass. So you definitely see the class wars going on. And I'm used to that. But, like, you know, UK was like a breath of fresh air one time when it came to that. People are just so chill, really nice, down to earth, very, very, I don't know, docile. Docile, I guess. They can't get up and fight these bastards. You guys need your own brute squad. You got to, like, do what Democrats did and hire Antifa. You got to hire your own brute squad and call them protesters, right? Call them protesters. Make up some stupid religion and say they're part of it so that your government doesn't intercede when these protesters come along and kick the crap out of these criminals, because that's what they are. Because in my world, as a private investigator in New York, they're criminals. I don't care what religion they're part of. And they're hurting people. They're criminals. They belong to be locked up, put in jail, or ejected out. You know. So now with these Muslims, you need to have a grace period. Okay, come on in, migrant. But within 5 or 10 years' time, make it 5 years. 5 years' time, you commit any crime, any violent crime, any type of felony, you are gone, and your family's gone. Because these people, they don't, you gotta understand Islam. They don't have pride in their country. They have pride in their religion. And their religion is a conquering religion. It's spreading the religion all over, right? You think about that psychic Baba Vinaya. She, you know, she's one who said that all of Europe is going to be destroyed by Islam, basically, from back in the day. You know, you can look it up. But I'll tell you this. The people out there that are running scared, you're doing the wrong thing. You got to turn and fight. You got to fight evil no matter what. And the governments out there that are running scared or are sitting there saying it doesn't matter, you got to fight. You got to fight for the people from your country that make up your country, you know. And you fight together for a peaceful society. Sounds kind of interesting, but that's what you got to do. And when it comes down to people victimizing you, you take them on and you fight. You defend yourself. You do what you have to do to make yourself safe and make your family safe. And then, you know, it's a war. But every time one of these people commit a crime, they're gone. If they're in that grace period especially, you commit a crime, you're sent back. Oh, you commit a crime? You're not just sent back. We're going to send you and your whole family back. You're going to see how fast terrorist attacks stop dead in their tracks. Because the last thing that they want is to be sent out of these countries. That would thwart their entire plan of infiltration. It's the last thing that they want. So you commit a crime, bye-bye. All 17 of you going back to Syria or Iraq or wherever the hell you came from, bye. They don't need to be in first world nations anyway, because there are plenty of Arab countries that can take them in. And they all believe in the same stuff, basically, even though they don't. You know, depends what group they're in, because they're all fighting each other all the time. Look at this thing going on with this journalist, right? In Saudi Arabia. What do you think is going to happen there? You know what's going to happen there? I'll tell you what's going to happen there. Nothing. Nothing. It's going to be a mass payment of hundreds of millions of bucks, you know, from Saudi Arabia to the U.S. Say, yeah. Sorry, we chopped up one of your people. And then there's a whole bunch of information out there on how this guy was dismembered and whatever. There's all these stories going around. Probably most of them fake, right? The only thing I know is that one man enter, no man leave. This guy went to their embassy in Turkey, Saudi Arabia's embassy. And this is a guy who says he's a journalist. He's from the U.S. And he's a big critic of Saudi Arabia. He went in there to confront them. And then that was it.
Let me out.
Yeah, he's pretty much gone. I think that, one, they don't have the body yet. Two, it's hard to get people to admit to things like that unless you put pressure on them too. Saudi Arabia said, oh, yeah, go ahead. If you do that, we're going to, punish you, whatever. You can expect oil to keep going up because it is, right? It's been on a steady climb for quite a while now. And it's just, you know what? We're supposed to have a good relationship, but the king, this king, Saudi king, this is a dude who hung these other billionaires upside down by their toes. He is not a good guy. They execute women for all kinds of stuff. They do whatever, man. They are not cool. In the world of cool, they're all kind of the same, and it's more about having them, you know, control each other. But they obviously this guy's not around to tell the tale, unless they have him on ice, and I doubt that. And, you know, if we're talking like they killed him, they must have intelligence that points to that. So I'd like to see what happens there. Also, you know, an FBI agent was just sent to prison for 4 years with 3 years post-supervision, right, parole, for what? Leaking information to the press, to the local press where he was. Leaking information. Why is James Comey free? Why is Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and all these people free? Because they were the biggest leakers that there were. James Comey, we know. We have lots of instances, hundreds, where he leaked info to the press. Not just him, but people around him. If this one lowly FBI agent just got sent up for 4 years, why isn't James Comey sitting in prison right now? So you think about that when you think about voting and all sort of stuff and politics and whatever, man. Think about the people who's in charge and how they're above the law. You know, they don't care about the law. The laws are for us, lowly peons, you know, not for these other people, right? Like these terrorists. They don't kill rich people. You ever notice? They're not attacking Palm Beach, are they? Palm Beach full of billionaires. You don't see terrorists attacking there. No. They kill regular old people, old gay people in the club, regular people at a job, don't like it, work, you know, whatever, man. You know, shoot up some street full of people, drive over people in the car. They don't want to kill rich people. And you should ask yourself that question, too. Anyway, this is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley Live. I'm going to end the show on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 at Pass Christian, saying goodbye to y'all. See you next week.